This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us about an hour from now at 8 o'clock on the show. Looking forward to that conversation. So free agency, this time next week, on Tuesday morning, we will be coming in, and I'm guessing, if I had to guess, just based on last season, we will be coming in, and we won't be talking about the Texans making a huge splashy move on day one of free agency. That's Monday of next week. Starts at noon on Monday. The illegal tampering starts, but that's when all the reports of deals get dropped. So we'll start learning about guys signing literally like lunchtime on Monday. The first ones happen within 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, agreeing. They agree.
They're not
signing officially until... But
Wednesday.
What was that text that you read to me during the break?
I'll read it in a second.
As we approach free agency.
Okay, I'll read it now. You and I just got done talking about the Texans free agency season last year, and that I think you and I are in agreement. By and large, it was pretty good. You know, for free agency, it was a pretty good hit rate. The crown jewel of free agency being Danielle Hunter. Although I kind of mixed Joe Mixon into that same group because he was about to get cut, and they traded a 7th round pick for him. So I'll throw Mixon in there. Probably helps the grade. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, and we'll get into the top guys at each position here that intrigue me both as a Texan fan and an NFL fan here in just a second. Text message, in keeping with tradition, though, winning free agency never works.
Okay, I have an issue with never, because that's false. That's 100% false. I'd say the Eagles signing Saquon Barkley was looked at as a very big move that tended to work out. CJ Gardner-Johnson for 3 years. I mean, the free now Zach Bond. Yeah. Zach Bond wasn't lauded initially as a huge free agency get, but they built that Super Bowl championship team partly out of an aggressive free agency.
Yeah,
and so and this is the thing though. Most things never work, or very rarely work. Yeah, the off-season strategy for the vast majority of NFL teams don't work out. Sometimes being aggressive in free agency is a good thing. More times than not, just like with every other strategy, no, it's not. It doesn't get you to the championship game, because only four teams get to a conference championship
game. Yeah, there's not 10 Super Bowl winners. There's one, you know?
As you pointed out, the Bengals made it to a Super Bowl after an extremely aggressive offseason in free agency.
Uncharacteristically aggressive, yeah. They signed DJ Reader. They signed Trey Hendrickson. This is back in 2021. They signed Mike Hilton to play corner for them. Yeah.
But I do think that listener is at least partly agreeing with us, because we were saying, hey, don't freak out if you're not super aggressive on day one of free agency.
Yeah, yeah. And I would submit, and I am reading this text to be about the Texans of 2024, when he says, in keeping with tradition... Because that's a little snarky. Winning free agency never works. I would submit that the free agency class that the Texans signed was not, if anything, that was a positive reason for them going 10-7 in the first place and winning the division.
Well, the other thing that the Texans did with their free agency class last year was that they were aggressive, but they did it with short-term contracts, relatively short-term contracts, all 3 years or less.
Yep.
So it's not one of those spends in free agency that handcuffs you 3 years down the line. You go to a couple years from now, and the Texans are actually in pretty good shape via the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So it was not aggressive the way some teams have gone in the past whole hog and signed all these long deals that if you don't win right now, you're screwed. So my big disagreement with that text is the never part.
Yeah.
So whether it's the Texans strategy last year or various other teams, the Broncos, when they won their Super Bowl, it was in a year when they went super aggressive in free agency.
Yeah.
It does work, but I agree that you shouldn't get overly excited about aggressive free agency because it takes a lot more than just that.
I think where it really works is if you got a team that's like already a playoff team and you're putting the finishing touches on it with free agency.
Yeah.
Although the Bengals were not a good team in Joe Burrow's rookie year, and all of a sudden the free agency vaulted them, so maybe they're a bad example. But I think in general, like the Broncos are a good example you bring up. I think that's what the Texans felt like they were last year. You know, 10-7, few big moves. C.J. Stroud, rookie contract, we're right in the mix. So this will be fun, man. It'll be a fun week next week to see what happens. It doesn't feel like as sizzly a class of free agents this year as there were last year, especially at certain positions that we'll get to. But The Athletic has put out their top 10 at each position in free agency. And there's only a couple of these positions I think the Texans are going to be dialed in on, and we'll get to those in just a second. Quarterback is going to be very interesting, Seth, just because of the names, the musical chairs, the lack of oomph in this draft class of quarterbacks. I think there's going to be teams that are maybe a little more desperate to get veteran guys. The craziest thing to me, this is one of those, if someone had told you 2 years ago or 3 years ago that Sam Darnold would be the domino that needs to fall before we know what happens with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Before we find out if Aaron Rodgers is going to be pursued by the Giants.
Yeah, or anybody, right?
Things.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy is Sam Darnold, and credit him, he's only 28 years old too, which is wild. It just feels like he's been around forever. Sam Darnold, still young, a chance to cash in here. And it sounds like the Raiders and the Giants are the two big ones for him right now.
He's going
to
get a legitimate shot somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a team that thinks, okay, this is our guy for the next 10 years. But it's certainly that, hey, we can do something right now. And the Raiders, I'm still confused by the whole Raiders going after Matt Stafford dynamic, because either Tom Brady never intended to bump into him into Montana, but also the Raiders
made an
aggressive offer to him. Yeah. Okay, great, whatever. The Raiders made an offer to Stafford, and Stafford decided, like, hell no, I'm not going to leave a good team for
right,
you guys.
Right, a Super Bowl contender. If I'm Darnold, it's a no-brainer for me. I am not going back to New York. And I know it's not with the same team he was with, but I got to imagine, for a guy who, when he was on the field with the Jets, said he saw ghosts, I would imagine he would see ghosts just getting back into that stadium. Plus, I would rather go play for Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly than I would Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
All right. The seeing ghost things has been way blown out of proportion. That's just a football thing that people say. It's when you're over-reading the coverages, or you're starting to coaches talk about that when they're game planning and say, don't coach against ghosts.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't start playing out every scenario in your brain.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, I'm being cute. I'm just saying he might have some PTSD going back to
MetLife Stadium. He should just get a place up in the Poconos. 45 minutes outside of town, live off the grid, and just drive into the city. He never has to see any of it. He could buy a place up at one of those old summer camps that they have up there.
Or fly
a nice 40 acres. Yeah.
On a helicopter every day. Sam
Darnold. That'll get fan favor.
Yeah, on a chopper. But it's just that the quarterback dynamic is wild to me in this.
Well, he's driving into New Jersey. He's not driving into New York City.
That's
true. He wouldn't have to deal with the really bad traffic.
No, you're right. You're right.
You get 45 minutes outside of the Jersey area there, the Hackensack area.
It's nice.
Everything, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
up
it's
there.
Very pretty. It's very pretty up there for sure. So the free agency thing, the quarterback class is kind of wild. The running, not nearly as much star power in this running back class as last year. Man, it's a good thing the Texans had a running back need with last year's class of free agents or potential free agents in the case of Mixon than this year. The top of this year's class, Aaron Jones, J.K. Dobbins, Najee Harris, and banged up Nick Chubb. Last year, the top of the class was Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, kind of Joe Mixon, you know.
Mixon was a trade.
But
it was in an active free agency where the Bengals wanted to shed his salary and go a different route. So they sign a lesser free agent. But it was all part of
Josh Jacobs. It's like this This is, would you, any of these guys, are you looking at the list, Seth? Any of these guys that you would?
I'm always intrigued by Nick Chubb, 24/7. I got a Chubb, yeah.
You're very Chubb oriented. Yeah.
Chubb is a guy that could come in and maybe, you know, doesn't have to have the full workload on him.
Yeah.
Given all his injuries and everything, that he intrigues me.
Yeah.
But yeah, the running backs, I think that if the Texans bring in a new running back, I think it's via the draft. And then also, I wonder that they're a lot higher on Damian Pierce, the football player, than I have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very open to, hey, Damian Pierce, maybe with a different offensive coordinator, it can be a whole different deal. For I mean, we saw some very good flashes out of him at the end of the season.
Yep. The wide receiver list. Stephon Diggs is the only Texans free agent to show up on any of these lists.
Yeah,
which I think is noteworthy, and we'll get to the wide receivers here in a second. I think is noteworthy. If you're a Texan fan, that the core is all coming back next year. Like Diggs is by far the biggest name that's hitting free agency that was a Texan last year, and he was only a Texan for half the season. He's third among wide receivers right now, Seth, behind T. Higgins, who got franchise tagged yesterday, and Chris Godwin, who ended the season on IR.
I thought the interesting thing about this list was that four of the top six guys in free agency for the wide receiver group in this list are coming off of one-year stints with their previous team.
Mm-hmm.
That, like Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, or less than a full year.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, and Stephon Diggs. That I think it speaks to two things. One, that, man, the really good wide receivers are either getting retained by their teams or they're getting traded for very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the wide receiver trade packages have been super aggressive. And there's not a lot out there this year. There's nobody that's necessarily – there's nobody I think the Texans should go whole hog on and try to pay $20 million a year or and have to give up draft picks if they're franchise tagged.
Yeah, this is a – man, if you're somebody who is hoping to shop for big-time wide receivers, first of all, Higgins was essentially taken off the market yesterday with a franchise tag. The next five guys, Seth, all dealt with some level of being banged up over the last couple of years. Godwin and Diggs both ended the season on IR. Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs. Keenan Allen's been banged up the last couple of years and hasn't been who he was. He's 33. Hopkins, you saw in the playoffs, Hopkins does not have that same gear that he had. You know, he had one catch in the first two postseason games for the Chiefs combined, dropped a big ball on a third down in the Super Bowl, and he's fifth on this free agency list right now.
If you look at, and this is one of our listeners a couple weeks ago had made a point that I think is a better point than I acknowledged at the time, because he had said, hey, name me the teams that have two high-priced wide receivers that have won a Super Bowl. It was a really bad point in the moment because the Eagles had just won a Super Bowl with two high-priced wide receivers. But when you look at if you look at the teams last year that had two receivers making more than $20 million per year, you had the Eagles, obviously. You have the Dolphins. You had the 49ers. You had the Bears, the Texans, and the Bucks. So other than the Eagles, you only had one team that won a playoff game. And the Texans did it without even having one of those high-priced guys on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be wary of overspending at wide receiver. I would much rather have an impact tight end at this point to have a broad complement of receiving weapons than I would a $25 million wide receiver to go along with Nico Collins.
Yep. All right. Let's page down, Seth. Let's get to the fetish that's yours, and that is guard, the fatties.
Yes.
You got some names? Okay, so there's multiple approaches the Texans can take here. We know that the majority, not the majority, but I would say the guard position is more represented in mock drafts for the Texans than any other position. The mock drafters have them taking interior line than any other position. And then there's free agency, where you've got the tippy top of the market with Trey Smith, who's franchise tagged. I'm out on that. You got to trade draft capital for the right to overpay him. I'm out on that. But I, like you, am in on some of these guys. And I think these are probably names fans aren't familiar with, but I think these are names that fans probably in the next 6 days need to get familiar with.
Because there's a very good chance that the Texans make a non-marquee interior offensive line signing that ends up being really good for the Texans. Because you don't have to have an all-pro guard in there. We need to have competent guys who ideally have a bit more of a swarm mentality. Yeah, I think that Shaq Mason, when he was in his prime, was a very swarm type of dude. I don't think he's physically capable of playing the way he used to play anymore. But, yeah, this is why I stopped being as worried about the Texans going after Trey Smith, the guard from the Chiefs who's been franchise tagged. Like, Kevin Zeitler. Kevin Zeitler is going to be 35 years old this year, but he's a guard for the Lions, and he's still playing very, very well. He's one of the guys that I watch. Every time I turn on the Lions this year, I'm like, all right, these guys just, look at that. They're playing with sound technique. They're playing with physicality.
It's tough to watch.
These are the kinds of guys that I want. Yeah, it was hard.
It was tough to watch, yeah.
Because the Lions did everything very swarmy on their offensive line. So Zeitler's going to be 35. That seems like a classic Nick Caserio type of signing.
Yeah.
You give him a really good 2-year deal. But it's hard for me not to think of Andrew Whitmore or Whitworth, who went to the Rams as a mid-30s guy and ended up playing way longer than anybody thought he would. So there's guys like that that I think would be very, very smart signings for the
Texans. I'm looking at Zeitler's Pro Football Reference page, like the back of his football card, figuratively. And I'll go back, like, from the time he was 25 years old, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 15, 16, 17, 15, 16, 16. He's a rock, dude.
Yeah.
He answers the bell.
I think in terms of culture and trying to get a little bit more of what the defense has on the offensive side of the ball, I think that would be a great signing.
I think that
would be really, really good. And I think he could probably he just looks, if you look at his headshot, you know, he just looks like the kind of guy that would be happy to play football until he's 40. So get him on a 2-year contract, a lucrative 2-year contract. I'd feel really good about that. The other side of the spectrum would be somebody like Mekhi Becton. And this is a guy that 2 years ago I would have said, like, what the hell are you talking about? Mekhi Becton is a guard, and why would you want him?
He was a bust in the Jets.
Yeah, he was a bust, but he's done very well as a guard for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
He's only 25 years old. He weighs 360 pounds. Just the sheer mass. When I saw the Texans at the end of the year actually get some movement against good defensive lines in the run game in the playoffs, like that was when you realized, man, boy, Bobby Slowick really did not have a good feel for what he should be leaning into with these guys. That they're a lot better at inside zone and the power game, using a fullback, all that stuff than I think they thought they were, or at least maybe it didn't click for him until then. But yeah, I think there's multiple options and ways they could go with this. Looking at the total list of guards that are available, I'm actually going to be kind of surprised if the Texans don't sign one of them.
Even like off of this top 10, like you're saying, like in the range of this list you and I are talking about here, like a top 10 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
Because there's so many of them, too, that the price tag might not be as high as you might fear.
And that's not a pricey position to begin with either, often, is guard. Two things on Mekhi Becton, real quick. One, his teammates really seem to like him in Philly. I saw like footage during the playoffs when they were winning playoff games and getting to a Super Bowl. You know, he played for the Jets for 3 years before he got to Philly.
Yeah.
He didn't play in any games that even closely resembled a playoff game when he was with the Jets. His teammates were like mobbing him and super happy for him that he was getting to play in games like this. Well-liked. That's what I take away from that. Well-liked.
And remember, in the entire playoffs, he was playing next to, at any given time, a center who was banged up or a backup, or they were a mess at center, and they still got it done.
Now, number two, this is more of a question. Somebody you know very well, Jeff Stoutland, is the O-line coach there. Do you worry that you're not going to get the same version of Mekhi Becton when he's not under the watchful eye of the greatest offensive line coach of this generation anymore?
I think that's where the big unknown is. All right, what
Cole Popovich?
Yeah, what is Cole Popovich? Same as, you know, what is Nick Caley? There's a lot of things that make sense about Nick Caley, but until we see him actually put in action, we don't know.
Yeah.
So I can't be as confident that Cole Popovich is going to be as good as the best offensive line coach in the league.
Sure,
right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there any shopping you want to do on the defensive side on this free agency list here that you like? Anything on the defensive tackle front? Do you think the Texans shop in top 10 defensive tackle range.
I thought the most interesting thing about this is that Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi are not in the top 10, and that every year we go through this where people freak out because the Texans don't sign an off defensive tackle, and then the next year they get PO'd that one of the defensive tackles you did sign leaves. Yeah. We've been through this multiple times.
2 years now, yeah.
We're like, oh, they lost Sheldon Rankins and they didn't replace him. What the hell?
Yeah,
and now this year it's going to be like, oh, they lost Mario Edwards and they didn't replace him. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Milton Williams, man, that dude made himself some money. He's the number one tackle on the list from the Eagles. He made himself some money. Milton Williams, how about this? This is for the Eagles defense. Milton Williams is the number one defensive tackle in free agency, according to The Athletic. Josh Sweat is the number one edge defender, and Zach Baum is the number one linebacker. Mm-hmm. All hail Vic Fangio.
yeah, that's. I would worry more about that than what we were just talking about. Okay, is Mekhi Becton going to be as good with this offensive line coach? I would worry more about, okay, how do these guys look in a different defensive scheme,
mm-hmm.
and without perhaps Vic Fangio, the way he was coordinating the game last year, that he put guys in position to make plays.
Yeah,
and they did it with, you know, playing a lot of zone, not blitzing, doing things that, because it was so well coached, those guys were able to make a lot of plays. And so for the Texans, I wouldn't worry about it because D'Amico is also a very, very good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if their price is going to be driven up higher than it probably should be.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. So it'll be fun, man. This time next week, free agents. These are all names that are going to be flying off the board next Monday. We'll see if the Texans are in on any of these guys. Go ahead.
One of the guards that I would also like is Will Fries from the Colts, just because, and he's the top-rated guy
number one right now.
Partly just to stick it to the Colts. I really love
Anthony
Richardson.
That's why you want to sign him?
Yeah. Specifically for that. Spite.
Petty.
Yeah.
I like this. This is good.
I want Anthony Richardson to... I want him to complete 40% of his passes this year.
Bolsters our
rep. And if Casero gives a damn about my goals and dreams, then he'll do everything he can to yank good players away from the Colts.
Yep. Text message. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Okay. Do you guys agree with Ron's take that he keeps having that the salary cap isn't real? Seems like you got to pay the Piper eventually.
Yeah, no, it's I don't. He's not. He can't possibly be serious with that take, is he? No, he's not serious with that take.
Did he say? I didn't hear. I've heard. I think their show, Clint and Ron, are generally a little more dismissive of the salary cap than you and I are.
Yeah,
that's not a criticism. That's just the way. That's the lens they look at the salary cap through. That's fine. There's teams that look at it that way too, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
No, they look at it that way, but they know they're going to have to pay the Piper at some point. It's credit card spending.
They are,
at some point the bill comes due.
That's why I need to know: did Ron literally say that the salary cap isn't real? Because if that's
that's
a bad take.
No, because he's from Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, he's followed the Chiefs very closely, and he understands that it's. When people say it's not real, there's ways around it. I've never understood when smart people say the salary cap isn't real, because it's so obvious every single year that it is. I don't get it. So I think they're just exaggerating the point. There's ways to get things done to work around the cap and to be creative with it, but it's not like every team in the league isn't dialed in on the salary cap every single day and trying to figure out exactly how to work up to it as close as possible.
If it weren't real, there would be no such thing as an unwanted cap casualty. There'd be cap casualties because teams would be like, "Well, we just don't want to pay this guy $18 million. We'll take the cap savings on it."
Yeah,
but no team would ever let a good player go, Seth.
No. It's one of the dumbest things that I hear smart people say all the time, and I don't get it, and I don't understand what leads them to that.
Yeah,
but I think it's linked to all the other bad things in society right now.
Okay, politics.
Not politics, just everything in general.
Gotcha. Yes. All right.
Geez, Sean. I would have like 29 texts who on both sides of the aisle thinking that I'm making a statement about some politician.
All right, let's get to Hard Knocks, something that everybody can agree on. I don't know if it is or not. Hard Knocks off season. This came down over the weekend, and that reportedly, I'm so disappointed in this, Seth. Hard Knocks offseason, which was, I think, that was my favorite of the three versions they've got out right now. They've got the original, which is training camp with one team. They've got the in-season, which used to be in-season with one team. Now it's in-season with a whole division, the AFC North last year. And they had the off-season one which by far got the most audio run on this show of any Hard Knocks ever, aside from the one the Texans were involved in 2015. Or on this station, I should say.
It was almost unanimously regarded as a horrible look for the Giants organization.
And an entertaining horrible look. Like, we were highly entertained by it.
And it was, I mean, with foreshadowing that they couldn't even produce or predicted. You had the owner of the Giants saying, I'm going to have a really hard time watching Saquon Barkley play for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And not only did he go play for the Eagles, but he had one of the best seasons of all time and won a Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah. It was like, it could not have gone worse for the Giants. And this is
and
what,
yet the GM kept his job.
And yet the GM kept his job. Yeah, it's amazing. So we're going to be Hard Knocks off season. They're not going to do an NFL team. They're going to do Bill Belichick's North Carolina college program in off season Hard Knocks. They're doing on paper a middling ACC school that happens to have the greatest coach of all time as the head coach. So we'll talk about what it means in a second. But just know that we are going to be deprived of audio like this.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm.
Which I don't know. I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen, but...
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
I love that last little, yeah. Yeah, whatever, old man. Get out of my office.
And that guy kept his job, man.
Get out of here, Nepo baby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we'll be deprived of GMs trying to dupe old head owners during free agency now. We won't get to see that anymore.
We're going to get to see Bill Belichick in a different environment than we ever thought we would see him in. And I think that it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, are you intrigued enough to watch this?
I'm super intrigued by it. You said greatest coach of all time. He's the greatest NFL coach of all time. One of the greatest college coaches of all time, Urban Meyer, was an abysmal failure as an NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The fun thing about this for Belichick, I guess, is that it's off season, so you don't necessarily get the comeuppance or anything. I think it's going to be a very good look for Belichick because people are going to see a different side of him that people have worked with Belichick will tell you that, no, he's a lot different when you talk to him one-on-one and everything. So we're going to see that different side of Belichick that could probably help him in recruiting down the road.
Oh, yeah.
And people are going to see grandfatherly Bill Belichick, but also with a 24-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, no, this documentary is being done for two reasons. One, recruiting. You're going to see Belichick. People are going to see the inside of what he has himself called an NFL program at a college level. So recruits are going to see how the whole thing operates. It'll be very curated. I'm sure that he and probably Mike Lombardi, I'm guessing Mike Lombardi is who is his GM at North Carolina. They have GMs now at the collegiate level. Mike Lombardi, I'm guessing this is probably going to be a pet project of his to make Belichick look a certain kind of way.
Censoring everything?
Yes.
Because teams are allowed to censor, usually, at least on the NFL version. They've been allowed to strike stuff if they want
to. And Lombardi's been out there in that content generation world the last few years, so he's probably got some ideas as to how that thing could look good. And number two, and you touched on it, this is Belichick flexing to show off his now, I guess, 24-year-old girlfriend to everybody. Was she 23 last year? I don't know. She's still in her mid-20s.
I bet we're going to see more of the coach's girlfriend and or wife than we ever have on a Hard Knock.
Yes.
I think she's going to...
That part will get curated
She does not seem bashful to be on camera or anything. She's not trying to wait in the wings. I'm still intrigued by that initial photo we saw of those two together when it was first announced that they were a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were they met on an airplane.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were sitting in coach.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, like, okay, look, it's not like Belichick needs fancy circumstances or anything, but I would imagine he flies first class most of the time.
I don't know.
So I'm guessing it was a Southwest flight.
Maybe.
And then I'm just kind of wondering, we talked the other day about trying to jockey for position when you're getting on a Southwest flight. I wonder how much jockeying went into her all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting next to Bill Belichick. What a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you're underrating maybe the target-rich environment that coach could be on a plane for Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, you got the That's where the 23-year-old co-eds are. They're not up in first class.
Oh, you think he's intentionally sitting in coach?
Possibly. Possibly. Oh. He's a very smart man. He's very regimented. He has a plan, you know?
It might have been Belichick that was the one jockeying for position.
Possibly.
Or just going up to the podium. If it wasn't a Southwest flight, going up to the podium, be like, I want to be on 24B.
Right.
Sure, Mr. Coach Belichick, are you sure you want to be in a middle seat? Yes, this time I do. Do it. Get it done.
No, not that middle seat. That middle seat.
That specific middle
seat. That one right there. Yes. I'm just putting it out there that it could be the possibility. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking forward to this. I wonder how the other colleges feel about it. Like, this is a... Now, here's the thing. With other colleges, most of these big-time schools now have really good social media and content generation staffs that put out. I just know my alma mater does. Like, there were some amazing documentary type stuff put out on Notre Dame this last year. So I would say, like, if you're a college that's upset about this, you feel like Belichick's getting an unfair advantage, put out some of your own stuff, man.
I think that Belichick
start a podcast.
Yeah, I think Belichick is probably going to follow the same strategy Jim Harbaugh did at Stanford, which is, all right, because it's an academically tougher school to get into for student athletes, that Harbaugh really leaned into, like, okay, these guys might not be as physically gifted, but they tend to be hyper competitive, or more so, we got guys that really, really want to compete. Mm-hmm. So I think with Belichick, his sell isn't going to be the money side of things. It's going to be for genuine student athletes, but then they can give him some money, but he's got to sell him on that NFL side of things. Like, hey, you're not a 5-star recruit, but we can get you. We can take dead aim on those 5-star recruits that think they're so hot, and we'll do everything we can to get you into the league.
Yep.
And so it's not going to be a money appeal. It's going to be more so a total package.
Yeah. Probably you're right. Probably both, but with Belichick skewed towards the getting to the next level part. I think you're 100% right on that. Hey man, big doings last night. Did you see, this is big doings for me, Dolly Parton's husband passed away.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Dolly Parton. You know that I feel like Dolly Parton is maybe the greatest person walking the face of the earth.
Oh, you're saying, I didn't even think of this angle.
Yeah.
That Dolly Parton is a single woman for
she's
the first
out there
time
now.
Since she was 18 years old.
I gotta
old.
Find out if she sits in coach and maybe I can get a middle seat next to her. Amy's been put on notice. She knows that. I think her parents know it because they send me Dolly memes all the time. Like, they know. Like, this was something that's going to ratchet up the competition for Amy. Dolly Parton now being available.
When you go to Dollywood, it's as much of a scouting mission for you now as it is a time to enjoy
scouting
roller
mission.
Coasters.
It's like it's like a trip to Mecca for Hakeem Olajuwon. You know?
I guess a recruiting mission.
Now it is. Yeah, now it's recruiting. But yeah,
like
before it was worship. Yes,
he was. I'll tell you what, because he was very much in the shadows. He was very private.
A lot of
people would have never guessed that she had a husband other than reading interviews, because he was very rarely on camera. But and she said that he was really, really shy. This is a good lesson for the younger guys.
Yeah.
18 years old, she had just moved to Nashville. She had put her clothes in the laundry at a laundromat, and then she wanted to walk out. I think it was Nashville, right? Then she wanted to walk out and take a look at the town. She said, I started walking down the street just looking at my new home, and this guy hollered at me, and I waved. Being from the country, I spoke to everybody, and he came over, and, well, it was Carl, my husband.
Wow, he shot his shot.
Yeah. Oh,
look at that. That is a great lesson for the kids, Seth.
When she say hollered at me, I don't think it was like a cat call or anything. He probably just said, hello, how are you, or
something
like that.
Do you think he did the thing where people stick their finger and their thumb in their mouth and whistled? I can't do it, but he's like,
she was coming from the sticks and it just showed up in the big city.
Like,
so
the
she probably
sticks.
hadn't grown a callus yet to being approached by random strangers and stuff. And he asked her out and she said, well, I don't know you, so we'll get to know each other and everything. They get married. It wasn't a shotgun wedding. I don't think they ever had kids.
No.
But they got married with like two people in attendance, and they stayed married her entire life.
62
his entire
years.
Life.
Yeah, 62. Yeah. He was 82 years old, man. He was 82.
So the lesson, just the lesson, put it out there, man.
Yeah.
Just say hi.
Shoot your shot.
Just say hi. Don't be like, hey, you're hot. You want to do it? No, just say hello.
Yeah. Okay? All right. This is good, too, because now I have the roadmap. If Amy gets a little sideways with me, I've got the roadmap to get Dolly. I just know I need to find her somewhere walking down the street and holler at her.
As she's doing her laundry.
She
puts her laundry in a coin laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all debit cards these days, but
right,
you know.
Right. I don't know. Tennessee might still be coins.
Her other advice? I always joke and laugh when people ask me what's the key to my long marriage and lasting love.
Yeah.
I always say, stay gone.
Yes.
Then there's a lot of truth to that. I travel a lot, but we really enjoy each other when we're together and the little things we do.
The occasional separation is not a bad thing, I think.
She seems like the faithful type, too.
Yes. Yes, she does. You would even imply otherwise. I mean, she's a whore. Yes, she's faithful. She was faithful to him for 62 years.
That'd be hard to be married to a sex symbol and
she
just
was,
waiting
man.
In the wings all the time and everything and probably
still
getting
is.
Just all kinds of letters and attention all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a confident man right there. or a guy who knows who butters the bread in their household.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He lived in Dollywood all the time, man. Somebody like Dolly probably will not get remarried. Well, she's like 80. I don't know that she's getting
Oh, God,
is
no.
Is this somebody telling me that I have no shot? Is that what this text is? Somebody, I'm going to read it that way. Somebody like Dolly, Sean, probably will not get remarried. I added
Sean.
Yeah,
but she might go out and try to have the 20s she never had.
Yeah, man.
You know?
She never really got to get out there, you know? Just
she never had a 20s back in the 1940s.
That's it, man. All right, so Amy knows. As soon as the news came down, I turned to her and I showed her my phone and I said, you've been put on notice, Amy. She is available. Capital S. She is available. The Queen, Dolly Parton. All right, mock draft injection with audio about the prospect that the Texans tab. Would you be? I think this is one that Texan fans, the sense I get, would be really, really happy with. We'll discuss that. Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joins us at the top of the hour in studio. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.